Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to the best of the Giants.
And the Giants have won!
A weekly mix of WFAN Sports Radio 101.9's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Played a game in weeks, BT, and yet they continue to lose here in certain aspects where in this offseason, some of the quarterbacks that might have been possibilities, whether it is Drew Aller, who is now going back to Penn State, whether it was J.J. McCarthy, who now seems likely to be the Vikings quarterback, even potentially Shador Sanders, which we can get into a little bit later on with Deion, maybe going to the NFL, who the hell knows? But it seems like a lot of the options for Giants quarterbacks, especially with Sam Darnold sucking the last 2 weeks, have maybe gotten less here over the last few weeks.
Unpopular opinion coming. I don't think Giant fans want to hear this today, but I have no problem with Sam Darnold going to the Giants next year. I really don't. I never thought that Sam Darnold, even at the apex of his play this year, was as good as some people were starting to, you know, and I know O'Connell had great influence and he played very well. I just kind of viewed his performance with a little trepidation, certainly respect and a little surprise. And I knew he was doing well and played very well, but I never looked at him as like he figured it out to the point where he's now a star. And I also don't think that he was as bad, you know, or he'll be as bad moving forward as he was last night. So I think when you look at the quarterback market, you're right, Sal. I mean, the Aller stuff, the Shador Sanders stuff, we'll get to that later, the draft. What team? I look at this right now. What teams in the NFL are going to need quarterbacks next year? And I think it's a pretty basic list. We'll put the Giants there, clearly. You might have to put the Jets there if Rodgers retires or they get rid of him, whatever. I would say the Browns, the Raiders, the Colts, the Titans, the Saints, and maybe one or two others.
Steelers.
So I would say of those six or seven teams I just mentioned, probably two more emerge unexpectedly, like the coaching market. I think a few of those spots will be addressed by the draft, which means I don't think you'll have that many teams vying for Sam Darnold. So I ask you, he made $10 million this year, okay? If the Giants can get him for 22 to 25, which at this point is a fairly paltry figure for a quarterback, you don't want it?
I want
for the Giants.
Yeah, I want no part of Sam Darnold. We had this conversation, it's funny, BT, before week one, going into the Giants-Vikings game, and I incorrectly like the Giants because I am anti-Sam Darnold. No, but you were saying, oh, Sam Darnold, you sleeping on him, Sal, you sleeping. I'm like, Sam Darnold stinks. And he went on to have a terrific season to a point where I was watching him saying, man, he's throwing the ball with confidence. Okay, he makes some mistakes and throws some interceptions. Who doesn't? But Sam Darnold was throwing the football with confidence. The last 2 weeks solidified my initial take on Sam Darnold is that he's not very good. So while he may be better in O'Connell's system and looks like a quarterback who's developed and, you know, could be a stopgap guy or a decent quarterback for some teams, I guess, I would want no part of Sam Darnold, not to mention in New York and the media pressure in this town that he's already dealt with, or that building and throwing the football, you know, outside of the dome in a spot that's tough to throw it in MetLife Stadium once the wind gets going and all those different things. So me personally, I want no part of Sam Darnold.
See, the problem here for the Giants is there's no home run solution. So you've got to be creative, and I think you've got to understand that there's just got to be a runway to relevance. And to meeting, I hate the term meaningful games, you know, in November, December. But, you know, for Giant fans and for Jet fans, that's something that both teams have been chasing for a while outside of 2022 for the Giants, as we know. So I look at the potential options. I don't see any. I mean, do you, from a Giants perspective, you want Russell Wilson? They talked to him a year ago. They decided not to go that route. You want Joe Flacco? You want Jameis Winston?
No.
Who do you want? Like, what's the answer?
Well, I think they got to figure out a way to draft one myself. I want, and again, I said this a year ago, I want a franchise quarterback, not a stopgap guy. And if it is going to be a stopgap guy, I'd rather it be Justin Fields, let's say, with the potential to still be a franchise guy, even though I don't love the way he throws the football.
Yep.
I still would rather have his upside and energy and excitement, the potential there versus Sam Darnold, especially here. I don't think it's like ridiculous what you're saying, because now with the way that Darnold has played the last two games, it's not Sam Darnold the $40 million a year quarterback. Now it's Sam Darnold the $20 million a year quarterback. So there's a different value there in Darnold. Like, could he be serviceable? Sure. I just wouldn't want him. I don't want that type of quarterback. I want a friend. I'd rather take a risk in the draft, even if it's a second round, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And, well, you can still take a quarterback in round two, yeah, because that's the thing about Sam. You know that Sam's going to work well with the quarterback.
Yeah, I don't want any part of Sam Darnold.
Not at all.
No, I'm not a fan. Never been a fan. I think he's BT. He stunk here.
I always told you he was not as bad as you make it out to be with the Jets. Like, that 1 year he had like 17 and 13. Like, he was okay.
Okay. I mean, initially I liked him his first year, but he wasn't any good here. Didn't make it here. He's been all over the place. In his best year to date with the Vikings, nobody would dispute how good he was this year.
Yep.
He choked badly in the last, in the biggest games of the year.
And listen, he got sacked 9 times. And the biggest,
throw the ball! On the damn ball, throw it!
That's where I was going. The biggest knock on Sam is that he's just kind of holding, looking, holding. Just release the ball, I agree. I don't know, can you teach that at this age? You know, he's almost 30. That's probably trying to teach an old dog a new trick, which without a lot of success. But, hey, if we're going to judge quarterbacks on a game, and I know with Sam, we've got to go back to the Lions game as well.
Yeah.
We have to.
We incorporate that.
There's no doubt. But if that's the case, Herbert, I mean, they should be running. I know Herbert's body of work is better up to this point than Sam Darnold, clearly. But you throw 4 picks in a playoff game, some were just egregiously bad. Get him out of L.A.
Yeah.
I just think that we overreact. Act positively and negatively, by the way. And I listen, if Sam Darnold threw for 290 against the Lions and 3 touchdowns, and last night he ran for 1 and he threw for 1 and he had a high completion percentage and they won the game, and even if they would have lost next week in the divisional round, and now Sam Darnold, the hype is around, like, hey, maybe Sam could be a franchise. I'm not having this conversation for the Giants. No way. Sam Darnold is not that kind of guy. But you need a guy. Like, you can't, and I know what you mean. You got to try to find the franchise quarterback. But as you're looking for one, can you at least have somebody serviceable?
Yeah, I don't think it's a ridiculous thought. I just don't want Sam Darnold here in this town. And by the way, you can make that same argument for the Jets, because they're going to likely need a quarterback. So why not Sam Darnold, especially if it's at a value? And I'm sure other teams are going to think the same thing about Sam Darnold. But it's the combination of his failures when he first got drafted with the Jets and never really believing in him, and then watching his best year fall apart on the biggest stage, missing throws, specifically the Sunday night game, and then doubling down on that.
Yep.
He had a chance for a bounce back. He cost himself a lot of money these last 2 weeks. Those are big, big games. All he had to do was be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they didn't win, just be okay. He was awful in those
games. I'm not defending last night. I get it. If the price tag was where where it was going, then again, we're having a totally, I don't even think we're leading with this here, outside of maybe referencing the game. We'll get these calls, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. But the other thing, too, like and I don't really know how you quantify this. It's just appealing to me. Not that it always works. It's not always a perfect measurement. But when you start in a manner that Sam started his career, when he was thrust into an awful, ill-prepared franchise with no O-line, no weapons, no coach, and he comes out of it stronger on the other side after going to multiple franchises and sitting and watching, and he wins 14 games, I'm interested in that guy for 20-something million bucks. I'll take him.
Understood, but are we...
And I would take him for the Jets. I just don't think he wants to go back.
Understood that, too, or I understand that, too, but are we sure that Darnold came out of it and, like, he did to a certain extent, but the last 2 weeks showed me that those ghosts are still in there. You know, he's seeing the ghost, and then with the pressure on against the good defenses, holding on to the damn football way too long, missing easy throws to Justin Jefferson, Sunday Night Football against the Lions. Like, there were things even in the last 2 weeks, even after he, quote-unquote, found himself and, you know, had this resurgence and all these different things, there were still things that you could see in the last 2 weeks specifically with everything on the line where he reverted back to the old Sam Darnold. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Ray is in Edison, New Jersey. What's up, Ray?
Good morning, gentlemen. It is an honor talking to you. Finally got through.
Thank you
so much.
Nice, what's Ray?
I enjoy your commentary and every conversation you have very much. I'm a huge Giant fan. I'll put it this way. I had dogs named Taylor and Tiki. So I did. Yes, we did as a family. But Sam Darnold, I watched him in college football. I love the guy.
Yep.
Yes, he had a rough year with the Jets. I was watching the game last night, and I'm like, you know what? He's having a bad game. I would love to see him in a Giant uniform and see what happens. But then I wake up and I listen to you guys. I'm like, wow, I'm not the only one thinking this. I'm like, I would love to see him in a Giant uniform. He would do it. That's all I have to say. I love you guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Ray.
He'd be great in a Giant uniform, I feel. 14 wins, I will take that.
Yeah, well, you're not getting 14 next year.
You're lucky if you get four.
You bring back Phil and Eli combined, you're not getting 14 with this roster. But I got you, Ray. Thanks for the call, buddy.
And thank you for the kind words. Look, I don't think it's out. When you first said it to me this morning, I was like, what? You want Sam now for the Giants? But after thinking about it, I don't think it's as outlandish as it may seem. I just have a thing.
I don't even think it seems outlandish because I haven't heard a better option. That's the thing. If there were three or four better options, and I'm sitting here saying, you know, stumping for Darnold, I'd say, what are you smoking today? It seems a little outlandish. What's the better option? I just gave you five. You want Jameis Winston who throws 30 picks a year? What are we doing?
Of those crappy options, I'd rather have Justin Fields would be my crappy option. But that's why I want them to draft a quarterback. They draft a quarterback with the number two pick or number three pick. And I do think it's ultimately going to be Shador. We could get into that a little bit later on. But I've just felt like that before the Drew Aller stuff, before Deion was rumored to go to the Cowboys, I felt like it was going to be Shador. I still feel like it's going to be Shador. And in that scenario, I would not be paying anybody $20 million to come in. Maybe you sign Drew Lock back or whatever and have him start the first five, six games before handing it over to Shador Sanders. But Sam Darnold is not a franchise quarterback, and I am not going down that road. And if it has to be a quote-unquote stopgap or somebody with potential, I'd rather go Justin Fields.
Listen, by the way, I've said Fields maybe for the Jets
and
the Giants.
Right.
I don't love him. That's the point. There's nobody to love. There's not a situation to love. I mean, I don't know in terms of just that consensus, not that it always is right, but not everybody loves Cam Ward. Not everybody loves Shador Sanders. Not everybody loves the names we wrote. Nobody loves everybody.
Right.
So I look at somebody I just think that Sam, you know, I think he's mentally tough. I think he's physically, he's pretty good size, pretty good stature, good enough arm, and a good enough player, I think, to at least, you know, will you into a competitive season. Not that Justin Fields can't do that. Right. I'm not saying that. Now, maybe the benefit, because Justin didn't play a whole lot this year because Russell Wilson took over, as we know, maybe Justin Fields' price tag is lower than Sam. Right. And maybe that's a little appealing. But, I mean, any way you cut it, the Giants are going to have to be creative. And I understand the last look we get at someone or something generally is seared in our mind. I'm going to try to forget that because I watched Sam Darnold for 4.5 months play really good football.
Now, you say he's mentally tough, Darnold.
Yes.
See, that's why I don't want him is because I think he's mentally weak.
Why?
Because of everything that went on in New York, seeing the ghosts,
the fact that he won 14 games this year after what happened in New York tells you that he is mentally tough.
Right. And then the biggest game of the year in Detroit, he soiled himself. And then, again, when he had a chance to recover from that, he looked even worse against the Rams, holding on to the football, being gun-shy, not throwing it. So, to me, that shows that he's mentally weak and can't handle the pressure. Now, I'm not trying to pick on him, like, as a person. You're right. Like, he bounced back, went through adversity, salvaged his career. But with the money on the line, literally in his case,
yeah.
And in the biggest games of the year for his team against the Lions, against the Rams in the postseason, he was awful.
I'm not defending that. No, he played terribly. But you see, there's also a lot of games that I understand. You know, week 18, game 17, yep. Big stage, Sunday, everybody watching for the division, and he just did not play well. Understood. I think Aaron Glenn took him to school. And I said that the next day. Right. One of the reasons why I love Glenn for the Jets. We'll get to that later. But I think it's unfair to him or to the situation, the conversation, to omit all the games that he played well to get them in a position to even have a chance to win. They won 14. They didn't. Listen, if they won the division, they were 9-8. Or even 10-7, and he had really pedantic. This guy threw 5 touchdowns, 4-3. Mike, Sam Darnold had a really good season.
Mike is in Ramtown. What's up, Mike?
Mikey.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Good. So, first of all, just based off the last comment, Kevin O'Connell is what made Sam Darnold decent this year.
Yeah, I don't know that I would push back on that, but I also think, and I'll let you finish your next point, Mike, I think when we give coaches credit, which I think we should, I also think it's fair to say, well, player X could take what he learned from coach Y and apply it in a different situation. You could learn something.
And then go to situation Z, but not back in New York. That would not work.
Well, we don't know that, but I got you. I understand the reluctance to bring him back here.
One other question. Now, if the Giants don't get one of those first two quarterbacks, which I'm not a big fan of either, do you see them going in the second or the third round, maybe for like a Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe?
In the middle row, these are names. Who knows? I'm not saying that they wouldn't. And thanks for the call there, Mike. I mean, Sal, I don't want to say that that's small potatoes because a lot of teams find their franchise quarterback in those mid rounds, or Brady late rounds, Montana mid rounds, Russell Wilson Seattle mid rounds. I get it. You know, Lamar Jackson barely made the first round, but I don't want to even say that that's the minutia, but that's not the story for me today. Sure, they could do that, 100%. But they got to start the season with a functional quarterback. You can't and I love Tyrod Iverson. Yeah. You can't start the year with somebody like a Tyrod Taylor.
Only if you have a top quarterback that is going to get the keys handed to him in week 6, whatever it may be.
Like with Kurt Eli back in the day,
yeah,
something
exactly.
Like that.
Like if you know you have the young franchise quarterback that you drafted and you're going to just let him sit for half the season and then turn it over to him, then you could live with whoever the starting quarterback is. That's why I said Drew Lock before Tyrod, whatever you want to say. One of those guys that you're paying nothing, basically, to be the starting quarterback for the first portion of the season. The Giants are in such a difficult spot because as a franchise, with all the mistakes that they've made and doubling and tripling and quadrupling, what's six? Six tuppling? Six tuppling?
Sure.
I don't know, whatever. But with Daniel Jones going all in on him, they've put themselves now in a spot where, and the owner said it, they need a quarterback. Right or wrong, they are going to be forced into one way or another finding a franchise quarterback this offseason, via trade, via free agency, or via the draft.
Yep,
so to me, it's imperative that they get that guy. I just don't think Sam Darnold is that guy. Maybe he'd be better in, let's say, Pittsburgh, who might not be looking for that quarterback right now.
Or
whatever other of those teams that you mentioned that need one. I don't think the Giants and Darnold are a good fit. Matter of fact, I think he's similar to Daniel Jones. I think Sam Darnold is similar. I mean, he throws the ball a little bit better, but Daniel Jones runs the ball better. Daniel Jones has won a road playoff game before. I don't really say, and I think they're both mentally weak. So I don't see much of a difference between the two.
Hey, I understand the reluctance. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I mean, any pushback for Sam Darnold, especially to come back to this city where he was almost swallowed up, I obviously get it on every single level. I think at this point for me, I'm calculating risk, okay? And you can't be risk-averse completely, because eventually the Giants got to take a swing for a quarterback who's going to be here, you know, 10, 12 years and do something. I mean, you can't just keep flushing these seasons down the chute where you win five games and it's a waste of everybody's time. However, when I calculate the risk here, in my mind, I'm like, all right, what's a riskier proposition? Rolling the dice on Sanders, who, myself, I really don't believe in. I don't. I don't believe in Shador Sanders. For me, no. I like Cam Ward more. I don't love him. So the risk there, top three, you might even move up. Taking a quarterback top three and big money as a first contract quarterback, or, you know, give it a guy $22 million a year who just won 14 games, who's not great, but not terrible.
And then not draft.
And then try to find somebody. Round three. Kick it down the tubes unconventionally and find one unconventionally. The problem for the Giants is there's no perfect recipe here. There's nothing that says, all right, hey, they've got the first pick, and this guy's thought to be an all-time transcendent talent, no-brainer, put the name on the placard, Giants are good for 10 years. There's none of that coming at them this year.
Ultimately, though, there are going to be options, and they have to figure out which one, like Shane and Dable, this is going to determine their fate. Maybe as soon as next season, but they have to figure it out, get the franchise quarterback, and win games next year. They put themselves...
Good luck, guys!
Yeah, exactly! Giants are not in a good spot. We'll continue the conversation. We come back with your calls, 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. BT and Sal back on the Fan. We'll continue with your calls on Sam Darnold as a possible Giants option, 888-808-1019. But there's another option as well, BT, and the problem with this is I have a hard time taking it seriously. Not that Deion couldn't go to Dallas to be the next head coach, but Deion's not going to go there unless he could figure out a way to get his son there. He already talked about one thing that could get him going to the NFL would be not only coaching Shador, but both of his sons. Okay, so how is that possible? Could the Cowboys trade up from, where are they, 12, 4, 8, 12? Yeah, the Cowboys are number 12 overall, right?
Yeah.
So they'd have to trade up with the Giants, let's say, hypothetically, to get to number 3.
Or the Browns or Tennessee.
Well, I mean, I guess. Yeah, I mean, you could. But in this case, we're including the Giants. Maybe the Giants trade back. Well, here's the thing. The Browns cannot afford Dak. And I would assume that in any trade, you would... Now, I don't even know if Dak could be moved. Like, they just signed him to a mega contract with no trade clause. But let's just suspend reality.
I believe he could. He would just have to consent. Usual no trade stuff.
So let's suspend logic and reality for a second and say that Dak says, okay, well, I'd be willing to go to the Giants. Like, he's not going to go to Cleveland. And by the way, Cleveland can't afford him because of Deshaun Watson. So there's no way that that's going to happen. So let's just play hypothetical here. Titans take Ward. Cleveland, they say there's no way Shador's going there, so they have to pass on him and figure out whatever they do. And then the Giants are up at number 3. And Dallas trades, I guess in this case, would be Dak potentially to the Giants for that number 3 so they could get Shador, and probably they'd be much more involved. But I don't think it's realistic, but I also don't believe that Shador or that Deion would be going to Dallas to coach against Shador two times a year in the own division.
In the same division. Yeah. So what's more plausible, that happening or Dallas and the Giants actually getting together on a massive deal like this? I know Philly and Dallas made that trade on draft night a couple of years ago.
Right.
The Devontae Smith, where they moved around for that, right?
Yeah, what are you saying? What's
I'm saying the Giants and Dallas striking a deal of this magnitude, or Deion going to coach the Cowboys without Shador in tow. Like, I think it's more likely in a wacky, and I agree, I know that he wants to coach his son and probably would not go coach Dallas without Shador there, but I even think it's more likely he would do that, more so than the Giants and the Cowboys striking a deal of this magnitude.
Okay,
That's just crazy. That's like the Yanks and the Red Sox for, like, top-flight stuff.
Okay, let's pretend that it's realistic, right? In this scenario, would you want that trade if you're the Giants? Take Dak?
No.
Really?
No. And I like Dak Prescott, I do. Yeah. I know that he's good. I'm not a Dak hater. I've been a supporter. I really do like him. But I don't think he's worth what you'd have to give up. The money that is being paid, I don't... And think about this. I don't think Giants...
I'm sorry, BT, to cut you off. I would think that they would just need to take on his money.
You're
going to trade back and get, I assume, a lot more.
Well, I'm looking at something now, and again, this is just speculation, but a potential trade scenario where the Dallas Cowboys would get the 3rd overall pick from the Giants, a fourth round pick in 25 and a fourth round pick in 26, and the Giants would just get Dak.
Get the hell out of here.
That seems obscene. Well, that seems a bit exorbitant, which is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's absurd. That's absurd. I would think the other way around. Like, if I'm the Giants, I say, we have the third pick, which you want.
Uh-huh.
You sign this guy to a ridiculous contract. Like, we'll take on the contract. We're going to need more picks. And again, I don't know how the structure is in the NFL.
As I think about this out loud, I could kind of see it really actually being the other way, because of all the things in this wacky, fictitious trade, the one known commodity is Dak Prescott, who is a highly above average NFL quarterback. So the value for that would be much more than an unknown, in my opinion. Now, whatever. Here's the thing, though. Like, from a Giants perspective, let's just say they did business, you know, Mara and Jerry, they actually did this, rivals, and it went down, and Sanders is coaching Sanders, and Dak comes here. For the money that he's making and his age, he's not young, not old, but he's not young. Like, the Giants are so far away, in my opinion, from having a talent base that can consistently compete for championships, that by the time they get there, is Dak Prescott still worth it? And for me, the answer is no.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Speaking of these college football quarterbacks in the draft, Deion Sanders was on the Tamron Hall Show on Friday after our show. And he said something that we had all speculated about and assumed that was going to happen. He said that, quote, there's a couple teams that I won't allow him to play for.
All right, there you go. So
it came right out and said it.
Well, he finally said it. I mean, like, and this is something you and I have been talking about for a month, at least a month. Here's why I think he said it.
The Browns.
Well, the Titans and the Browns. And yeah, I think Shador wants to play with Malik Nabers and the Giants, which is going to put the Giants in a very weird situation because, again, I'm just going to say it. The kid is a first-round draft pick, but he's not a top-10 pick. You know, and I would just say is that the one thing he has that Patrick Mahomes had is the expectations to be great at the next level because of his father's history and for what he's been around his entire life. So I can't take away that from the young man. But he's just not an explosive player, you know, like we see at the top of the draft most of the times when you say, okay, this is a can't-miss guy. He's lacking in certain areas, but that doesn't mean he can't be a successful, you know, starting quarterback in the NFL. But it is legitimate to be able to say that he doesn't want him going either to the Titans or the Browns. And his son, I think, is settled on the Giants. Like, his son wants to come to the Giants to play with Malik Nabers.
So you really think that the Titans is a place that he's just not going to consider? I mean, I don't... The Titans have had success in their history.
I think the Titans probably take Cam Ward, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, then that leaves the Browns. It's just don't even try.
And nobody wants to go there, I can tell you that.
Right. So Tamron Hall said, have you told him privately who you would like him to play for? And Deion said, it's not like that. It's not like who I would like him to play for. It's a couple of teams that I won't allow him to play for.
I would just tell you this. Here's Deion's dream scenario. Is to be the head coach of the Raiders and the Raiders draft Shador Sanders. That's the dream scenario. That's everything that Deion would want and Deion would hope for. And great for him. Listen, if I could manipulate that for my son, who was a top draft choice,
yeah,
God damn, I would be doing the same thing. I was telling, you know, Phil and I did an appearance together last night.
Oh, really?
In New York City, and we were talking about this. You know, and Phil had two boys that were, you know, great quarterbacks and went on to play quarterback at high levels. I said, you know, could you imagine if you could manipulate the system where you could become the coach of your son as the quarterback of a professional football team?
Yeah, it seems like the Raiders are not interested in hiring Deion as the head coach, though. That is, reports out there say exactly that. He has expressed interest in the job, and the Raiders are not interested in him having the job.
I'm just telling you, that would be the dream scenario for, I think, Deion himself. But I think, to me, it sounds like Shador wants to play with the Giants. You know, why else would he wear Giant cleats?
And throw the ball with Malik Nabers and have that out there on social media and everything else? I mean, it seems like that. You know, him coming to New York, I'm warming up to the idea. Because one thing I think you're going to get from him is he's going to be totally committed. And that's the first thing you always say these GMs, the phrase that they love these days is, does he love ball? Is he committed to it? I just don't think that Deion is going to raise a son who's going to find, you know, show up to the NFL and just mail it in. I mean, this guy knows and it's been drilled into his head since he was a toddler that if you want to be great, you got to put the work in. You can't just show up. So I know for a fact he's going to work hard. And if we are to believe that Brian Daboll is someone who can make a quarterback better.
But this kid, just so you know, this kid is not Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, he's not saying he is.
He's not even Drake May, and he's certainly not, you know, C.J. Stroud or any of these other guys that have had, you know, great starts to their career. Caleb Williams still seems to be everybody's, like, this kid can do so much, and they didn't get it out of him for some reason. So that's why that coaching hire is so important in Chicago, because everybody that I have talked to about Caleb Williams and his performance this year says there are probably about 10 different throws that he has made throughout the season that are wow throws that, like, just blew everybody away, which everybody expected to see. And just because, you know, he's probably a little bit immature and he's just not there yet, that the next coach that they hire in Chicago, it's all about getting the most out of Caleb Williams. That's why I think, like, guys like Cliff Kingsbury, you know, and Ben Johnson both have very good shots at that job if they want it. But I don't necessarily know that Ben is going to want to stay in the NFC North just simply because of his loyalties to a guy like Dan Campbell.
Yeah, that's what I kind of felt, too, just because Ben Johnson seems like that type of guy that is going to think about those things. He's been with Dan Campbell for a long time. He turned down jobs this past offseason because he said he had unfinished business with the Lions. I definitely think that plays a part into his decision-making. Now, I don't think it's 100% that he wouldn't go to the Bears because of that, but I do think that plays into his decision-making. And, you know, as far as now with the Raiders job open, you know, the GM job open there as well. Now you got three general manager jobs open. And
that Raiders job could be his because, according to other reports, that Tom Brady is lobbying heavily for Ben Johnson. So if that's the case and they cleaned out the GM and everything else, Ben may be able to get what he wants from the Raiders.
Yeah, but he does not have a quarterback there.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you're starting fresh, man. You're starting from scratch.
But isn't that a, I mean, that's a huge part of the situation. I mean, you go to the Bears, you got Caleb Williams. I mean, if people still believe in Trevor Lawrence down at Jacksonville, you got that.
Yeah, but you also have Trent Baalke right now down in Jacksonville and Ryan Poles still in Chicago. I think Ryan Poles did a great job with this team. He's just got to find the right coach. And I think he's been around long enough, been around enough winning people to know who, you know, he would like to try to unlock Caleb Williams. But I do, I just... For some reason, I could see Ben Johnson going down to Jacksonville and convincing Shad Khan, I'm not working with Trent Baalke. If that's the case, then he's going to bring his guy with him. And Shad Khan even said, if somebody can give me a better, you know, answer than Trent Baalke, then I'll consider it. But at the moment, there isn't.
You see those kids that convinced Caleb Williams that they were Ben Johnson and then ended up FaceTiming him and pranking him? I mean, that is just, I got to give him credit for being able to pull that whole thing off, but... If I'm Caleb Williams, I am pissed about that. You know, because you look foolish. You look gullible. Oh,
naive.
Yeah, I mean, all of it. By the way, speaking of the word gullible, so I'm listening to BT and Sal, I think it was Thursday when I'm driving home, and Hoff, the producer, Big Tongue Hoff,
yeah,
he called Brandon Tierney gullible.
He did?
BT did not like that.
Uh-oh.
Did not like that. And it was like real life anger that was coming at a BT's like, no one in my ever in my life has called me gullible, but you gullible.
Fuck you.
I was like, whoa. So I went to Hoff. I said, hey, he was really angry, wasn't he? He goes, yeah, he was. He was pissed off at me for calling him gullible.
You know, I just think Big Tongue likes to do that to get under the skin of those guys.
Yeah, that's what he does. Yeah, he's an instigator. He's someone who wants to, you know, fire his guys up. And sometimes it works well, and sometimes it doesn't.
Stick it up your ass!
Oh, man. Let's go to Ron, who's in Tom's River. What's up, Ron? Good morning.
Okay, let me preface by saying I'm a Giants fan, and seeing everybody win and us lose, I'm kind of angry just calling about this. But I have to call Boomer out on something. C.J. Stroud, in college, was never thought to be this good in the NFL. So how can you base C.J. Stroud or any of these newer quarterbacks, a quarterback who has never even played the game yet? I just want facts of why you think so, besides Deion Sanders being the father of Shador Sanders. And, like, I just want your thought process. Because to me, until quarterbacks, and Boomer, I know you're a quarterback, face live bullets, you don't know how these quarterbacks are. Like Jackson Dart from Ole Miss, everyone's on his jock strap now, and we don't even see the kid play from SEC. So I just want a little bit more elaboration.
All right, well, I'll elaborate for you. I compared him to Patrick Mahomes in the fact that he has lived a life around being expected to be great or being around older athletes, being around the NFL, being around Deion's teammates, going to Deion's game. I mean, things like that that impact these kids. And Patrick Mahomes was like, you know, I don't know how many times you have to say this. He was shagging fly balls at 5 years of age on a Major League Baseball diamond, for God's sake. So, you know, these kids are already exposed, you know, because of what their fathers did. And, you know, Deion has basically taken his son, Shador. He took him to that Jackson State. Now he took him to Colorado. And you've watched him flourish under the coaching of Deion and the expectations. And now Deion's getting himself involved again, saying most likely it's probably the Titans and the Browns because his son wants to go to the Giants. And, you know, are the Giants going to take him with the third overall pick? I would say that would be too high. But if they think somebody like the Raiders or somebody like that really wants him, I think they have to consider a trade. But I just believe inside of Shador Sanders, I've never met him, but being around all these kids whose dads played in the NFL or Major League Baseball that ultimately become the great athletes themselves do so in large part because they've been exposed to all of it.
BT and Sal back on the fan, 888-808-1019. Did you see Michael Strahan taking a shot at Joe Shane and the Giants when talking about letting some good players go, whether it's McKinney with the Packers, whether it's Saquon with the Eagles?
A little zing.
Out of character for Strahan.
He's fed up with this. I don't blame him. All the Giants are. They should be.
I know, but when you have Strahan, a high-profile former Giant, doing it on that platform.
I respect it. Yeah, he's right.
Me too. I love Strahan. Always have. But I almost made me feel bad for Shane, especially in that particular case. Like, come on, McKinney and Barkley. Like, the Giants did the right thing at the time, certainly with Barkley. We all said that. And I know it sucks watching him go. And by the way, Barkley, can you take the ball to the house, please? For those of us who had the anytime touchdown score, Saquon Barkley, just take the ball to the house. The game is over. You're going to be too nice? Be a little nasty. Go score a touchdown. Do a little dance. But the point is, like, yeah, there are a million things to pick on the Giants for. I don't think that McKinney or Barkley should really be the primary one.
No, but I also think that there's other things that are built up that Strahan probably doesn't like, that the national audience won't care or know as much about, you know, in terms of like the minutiae of what the Giants maybe have messed up on. So that's his way of kind of getting some shots in on a guy who probably doesn't think he's doing a good job. So let me take the guy who used to be here and who has 7 picks for the Packers, and the other guy who used to be here and basically ran for 2,000 yards, basically.
I just feel like it's piling on at this point. And I get it. Like, there's reason to pile on, right? They've been awful. You and I both said it. Even though I tried to stick with Shane and Dable, after this year, a disastrous year by all accounts, you know, I thought it was time for a change, and I'd rather than risk another year plus with these two, just get it over with now and start fresh. But we didn't even touch on this last week with Joe Shane getting dragged. I think it was the Jordan Renan article that talked about Nick McCloud and how he handled that. I personally did not have a problem with that.
Me neither.
They asked him for a pay cut, take a pay cut. He says, no, you know what? Joe Shane should be. Okay, good. Do what? Do me a favor. Don't make sure you don't sign up for rent next month because you're going to be out of here soon. Like, I don't have a problem with the way Joe Shane handled those things. And I feel like now it's piling on, trying to make every little thing that they do a negative thing.
It was pretty ruthless. It was pretty counter to, you know, how messages are delivered in 2025, although that would have still been 2024. I loved it, though.
Okay, right.
I have no problem with that.
So we both love it. And it's also the same people who ripped him for being, let's just say, soft on Hard Knocks. Right? Like, oh, Joe Shane, he looks like he doesn't have a clue. He looks a little soft. So they're going to get on him for his behavior or temperament in Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Now they're going to criticize him for the way that he's handling Nick McCloud.
Well, he can't do anything right. That's where he's at. Even if he does do something right, people will ignore it and latch onto something that they don't think he's doing right, and that's what they'll pick on.
So that's kind of my point back to the Strahan. I thought, come on, Stray. You could have laid off your former voice a little bit. Yeah, I get it. Hey, look, you got to take a shot. You know, entertaining, whatever. But just ease off of Joe Shane. BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. Jack is in Oakland, New Jersey. What's up, Jack?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Great show today.
Thank you.
Well, every day, but today's good.
Thank you, Jack. What's up?
Just a couple thoughts on McCarthy. I just want to run it by you guys. First, I guess you'd have to find out if Aaron Rodgers even coming back, right, before you try to put him and McCarthy together. Secondly, do you think there's any, maybe it's been a long time, any ill will by McCarthy being spurned by the Jets the first time?
Can't answer that.
I don't remember what happened. Did they interview?
No, they didn't. Okay. Like, they, wait, did they talk? Did they talk to him? They talked to him. They didn't go anywhere. They talked to him.
Yeah.
They did.
They hired Jason. Right. And then that go around, was that Gase or was that the song?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. That was Gase. I think I would remember that.
Yeah, but Jack, one sec, Jack. Think about it. Hold on, one sec, Jack. Think, because I don't want your other point to get lost here. I would reach out to McCarthy independent of what happens with Rodgers. Like, and I think Sal and I share the same opinion. Like, we both value McCarthy enough where if Rodgers wants to leave or wants to retire, that we're both still interested in McCarthy coming to coach the Jets.
Oh, I hear you there. I'm just going by what we're talking about as the scenario of, you know, McCarthy coming back, reuniting with Rodgers. It may not even happen. Second of all, this whole league is about getting young quarterbacks. That's what we all talk about, right? And starting over. How could you not? If the opportunity comes for him, you have to take the Bears job. I mean, you have a quarterback, regardless of what he is. You have that. 2 years from now, you don't know what you're getting with the Jets. You don't, like, how do you take a job now and saying my quarterback is probably going to be back for one more year, and then we got to get a new quarterback? I mean, you have one in Chicago.
I don't think he would take the Jets job. And by the way, thanks for the call, Jack. I'm not even sure the Jets are going to really, truly reach out to him again. I don't know. But based on the options, whether the Jets are added to the list of potential options, I think he would take the Bears job over the Jets. I do.
Here's why, though, he would maybe prefer the Jets job over the Bears job. Twofold. Number one, maybe he thinks that another year with Rodgers is appealing right now with the Jets' talent on their roster. Also, he would, in this scenario, be getting to pick his own next quarterback.
Yeah.
Along with whatever the GM is, obviously. But otherwise, he's got to believe in Caleb Williams. And maybe he does. And if he does believe in Caleb Williams, then obviously you would choose the Bears because you have a young quarterback that you believe you could win with some talent around there. It's a great franchise, all those different things that we talk about. But if he doesn't love Caleb Williams and wants to select his own guy, then that's where maybe the Saints or the Jets would become more appealing.
Well, then it's a complete turnoff because if he's not enamored with Caleb Williams, like you're not convincing the Bears to move
right.
on from him.
Right.
He just drafted him.
That's what I'm saying. So you go somewhere else and pick your own guy. I don't know. I would assume he likes Caleb Williams and thinks he could develop him into a a stud quarterback. But
I mean, I would think that he would have a chance, more of a chance to have the Jaguars move on from Trevor Lawrence than the Bears moving on from Caleb Williams on his first contract.
That's another one, too. If he likes Trevor Lawrence better... You know, these coaches got to be careful, too. You shouldn't just go somewhere just because of the quarterback. I know that that's appealing and a big thing, but you don't really know until, you know, wouldn't you want to pick your own guy as opposed to a guy that's failed? Or if he's like, I love Caleb Williams or I love Trevor Lawrence, I can't wait to go coach this guy. Look what happened with Doug Peterson. He went there thinking that that was supposed to be the good setup. And as you said before, there's actually six former Super Bowl winning head coaches available.
Doug
if
Peterson,
you count Doug Peterson, who just got fired.
It was Belichick, it was Carroll, Gruden, McCarthy, possibly Tomlin if you trade for him, and Peterson.
Right. BT and Sal on the fan. We'll get to some baseball coming up this next hour,
too. Baseball fix today.
Yeah,
let's go.
A little bit, but we'll keep it going with the Jets head coaching calls. 888-808-1019.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How we doing today? 4 o'clock on this Tuesday in New York City. Now, it was a long time ago, I remember. Very long time ago, we were making predictions on, hey, who's a good quarterback going to be for the Giants in 2025? Mm-hmm. And my grand prediction was Dak Prescott.
Here we go!
Now, once he signed that extension with Dallas back over the summer, that dream, if you will, kind of died.
Yep.
But Sean is trying to regenerate the dream because of the Deion Sanders to Dallas rumors that, hey, they hire Deion. He's going to want to get his son Shador. They could possibly trade up with the New York Giants. I can't imagine, Teak, that you would be interested in dealing the third pick in the draft for Dak Prescott.
No, I think there's too much you can do there, whether it's getting one of the quarterbacks, which I don't necessarily believe they'll do, or going to get the best player in this draft and Travis Hunter. But it's also because of Dak. His career is so bizarre to me. Because it's good in some regards, and in others, it's just like, what the heck? So he wins Rookie of the Year. We all remember. Most of that was on the legs of Ezekiel Elliott, right? Because they just grounded and pounded. They were great on the ground. Great offensive line, etc. And then he just has, like, it's an okay year. 22 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. It's nothing great. And then the next year, they win 10 games. The year after that, he's, like, average. And then he gets hurt, and he only plays 5 games. And then he comes back, and he has a pretty decent season and throws 37 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. But then he leads the league in interceptions.
Right.
In a 12-game season. And then he leads the league in touchdowns 2 years ago, and then he only plays 8 games this past season. Like, there's so much inconsistency. It's not that he's bad. I'm not saying Dak stinks and I don't want him. That's not true, because that's not fair. He actually has been pretty good. There's just this level of weirdness to his career that makes me not that interested at 30, 2 years old. You know what I mean? So
I agree.
No, you don't agree because right before the break you said you would trade the third pick in the draft for Dak Prescott. Well, so don't now tell me, Lord Tiki, I agree with you.
He said he'd trade the third pick.
What'd you say? He'd
take Dak Prescott.
I take Dak Prescott. I'm not giving up the third overall pick. Now, look, if the pick is used on Sanders, I'm still wanting Dallas's first back. I'm helping your problem in taking that back. Now, here's the deal. I don't disagree with anything Tiki said on Dak Prescott, but here's what Dak Prescott provides. And I'm excusing the money here for a second because we have to get there in theory.
Mm-hmm.
I have wrapped my brain around every potential quarterback.
There's not a good one.
All right.
Free agent, meaning veteran.
This is the thing, right? If the Giants could get Shador Sanders, to me, great. And if he fails, at least I took a swing. But if in the world where Deion's going to force him and that is now out, do I want to make a move that includes Dak Prescott coming here? Or do I want Sam Darnold, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins? My point is, you can give me all those bridge quarterbacks, and we saw a couple play this weekend. To me, I know I could compete and get back to stable Giant football with Dak Prescott with the upside of he could win playoff games where I don't have the confidence in any of those other guys. So, yes, it would make me throw up rooting for Dak Prescott, but in the end, farming your own land with the Giants, that is the best veteran option, should it be an option.
No, but the difference is that veteran option is also your long-term option.
Sure.
A veteran option like a Russell Wilson or a Sam Darnold coming on a short-term deal, or I'm not marrying the person for a long time and committing big money to a person for a long time, is a better option. Because then it's not like you're long-term with Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers, whoever you want to bring up. If you're absorbing Dak Prescott's contract, which is still owed like guarantees of $200 million, you're marrying that.
Yes. However, in a year or 2 years, while that contract is still being paid, you could keep reexamining and not feel forced. If there's a quarterback that comes that you love, now I feel comfortable trading up, and then I basically do what the Vikings did, which is goodbye to Kirk Cousins, here's J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, but the contracts are structured so differently.
I know. But you watch. By 2-3 years, that
contract... What am I watching?
My point is, you're not going to worry about it this year. You won't worry about it in year two. By year three, you've already done 2 years of that Dak contract. It starts to become, with the cap expanding, not that impossible.
I would have zero interest in this if I'm the Giants. Mm. And I would tell the Dallas Cowboys...
Because of Dak or because of the contract
both.
And everything else?
Combination of both. Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's all of the above. He's 31 years old. He's good. He's mediocre. He's really good. He's mediocre. He's hurt. Like, you nailed it with his entire NFL career. Like, yeah, he can go out and lead the league in touchdowns, and maybe I'll win 12 or 13 games. But then the following year, he may play 7 games and lead the league in interceptions.
Right.
Like, he's all over the place. And I'm not giving that kind of money to that guy. I'm also not helping the Dallas Cowboys get what they want.
Well, but the other thing that we does have to be brought up here, though, is for Dallas to make this move, they would have to do essentially a little more than double what the Packers did when they got rid of Aaron Rodgers with the dead cap hit.
Right.
And by virtue of doing the double, Dallas is not going to be able to afford Micah Parsons.
So he's in the trade now?
Mm. That is the big sell in the trade.
Mm.
You can't pay him. So you want Shador Sanders? We'll pay him.
We'll pay Dak.
Now we're talking.
You got Tiki interested. Look.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll do that now.
We talked about this earlier this week. The Giants need to reestablish an identity, whatever it's going to be. And having a great pass rush might be the easier route than going to find a great quarterback.
There's a guy on hold who wanted to suggest Micah Parsons in the trade. Did you just steal the idea from him?
Do myself a favor,
Evan. Let me find out.
Posted. Go to my tweets last night.
Hold on. Joe in New Jersey, did Sean just steal your idea while you were on hold? Because that seems wrong.
Yes, that's what I introduced to him. As I'm driving past the Jets practice facility here on Route 24, to make it all ironic, I said Parsons, Micah Parsons, and Prescott, and swap the picks.
Wow. Hey, can you come in here, Sean? I have something I have to put around your neck.
No, I won't. Actually, can a caller wear an L? Because let's go back to the timing.
Need to wear an L.
No?
I thought you learned from experience of stealing ideas from callers. Tiki?
He's a regifter.
Tiki, be a fair judge. He just told me. He told me that on the phone now. Is it possible a listener of the show might follow us all on Twitter and subconsciously have something in the brain? Because 18 hours ago from @SeanMorash, Dak Parsons, Cowboys second and fourth rounder to the Giants for the third overall pick and the right to select Shador Sanders.
Mm. Hold on, let me validify this. Hold on. Today marks my second year as a professor at Iona to the students. Let's have a great semester.
Just pat yourself on the back.
All right, we got that one. Is Kevin O'Connell aware that part of his job is to try to win a football game?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then he's got some large man singing. Why is a large man singing on your Twitter
Who's
account?
Who's the large man?
It's this guy, Robbie, who's a big Viking fan.
Oh, so you're mocking him?
Yeah. Yeah, Robbie used to work here.
I know Robbie. Yeah. That's what you're doing?
Yes.
You're just mocking him?
Yes.
What was he singing in your little clip?
To Far Bombay, that song. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that song.
Dak Parsons, Cowboys second and fourth to the Giants for the third overall pick and the right to select Shedeur Sanders after Deion doesn't allow the Browns to take him. Yeah, it was his idea.
Yeah, that's solid. Well done, Sean.
You know what? No L for you there, bro.
Thank you.
Yeah, none of this is happening. You want to know why? Because as much as we don't want to admit it about Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, they are a stale, boring, senior citizen franchise. And what I mean by that is we attach more sizzle to them than they deserve.
Yeah, it's because they're marketing genius as an organization because they've made themselves over decades to be the team in the NFL despite not winning a championship since, 90-something? 95, 94, whatever it was they last won. So you give them credit for being relevant, like uber relevant.
Yeah.
But they haven't won anything.
They haven't won anything. And all these like fake rumors we all attach to them, oh, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. They never do any of it.
Yeah.
Like that's why ultimately they won't hire Deion Sanders as much as I think they should. I think it'd be a good hire. They're going to do something boring like Kellen Moore.
Well, they're going to do something that feels controllable. Jerry will do something that feels more
Is that what this is about? He doesn't think he can control Deion?
Think about all the coaches that have recently been there.
Yeah.
It's not guys with these like massive personalities.
That's the mistake he's making.
That supersede him.
Yeah.
And so he almost needs to give that up.
And Deion's the perfect guy. And Deion's the perfect guy to give it to.
Of course he is. Because Deion is... He's been there. He's done it. He was a Cowboy.
And he will take all the attention out of the room, which is probably good for Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
He's old and he mumbles a lot now. Like, he's not the same guy. He's not good at what he does anymore. So he's probably better off kind of handing the reins to somebody
else. It's also
else.
Possible Deion's using the Cowboys. There was a report that came out over the weekend that Deion's interested in Vegas. They're not interested in him. Oh, I know. I'll talk to the Cowboys. Maybe that'll wake Brady and the Raiders up. They'll hire me.
Would you
They'll
rather draft coach the Raiders than the Cowboys?
In Vegas with my son, I'd rather be in Vegas than anywhere near Jerry Jones.
You do have an easier avenue to getting your son because the Raiders aren't picking as far back as Dallas, so you could still pull that off.
It sucks being in a division with Mahomes. That part is awful, but you are in Vegas, and you're more likely to draft your son. The Cowboys are not drafting Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
I don't think they have
a
capital.
It's a long shot.
I had to go back and check. Deion was on their last Super Bowl winning team.
Yeah.
In 1995, 96 Super Bowl.
It was a long time ago.
That was a really long time ago.
Long-ass time ago. Let's go to Josh in Smithtown. Hey, Josh.
Hey, I just kind of agree with Sean. If you're selling me either 8 to 9 wins of a guy like Dak, who I actually can't stand, but if you're selling me that or, even more wins than that compared to 3-14, whatever, I don't know who they're going to bring in. And at this point with Shannon Dable, it's year three, it's gotten worse. I don't see how it's going to get better either, so... I just think that, it brings a little bit of stability, even though he is inconsistent, and I would prefer that over any of the alternatives.
Wow. I think if I was roster-wise closer, I would probably say, you know what, get me that quarterback that gets me to the 12-win category, especially in the NFC, where there is no dominant team and there is no dominant quarterback. But I don't think the Giants are that close.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think bringing in Dak Prescott is going to make the difference that maybe you guys believe. It's different than what my brain was at 2 years ago with the Jets, where I looked at the roster and I said, wow, they're basically a 7-win team with this big-time defense, bringing a quarterback, and I'll jump from 7 wins to 11 wins. Like, the Giants won 3 games last year.
Yeah.
I think we forget that.
You don't think Dable with Neighbors and Dak and O-line, you don't think they could win 10 games?
Well, I mean, let's not forget the Commanders were also at 3 wins a year.
They were picking second overall.
Yeah, I mean, they were bad. And so it can happen. And
of course, in the NFL, of course it could happen.
Well,
yeah.
It can happen in the NFL because we've seen it. Like, this is a haves and haves nots league. And there's a few teams that sit there in the middle class. Now, they can't really compete with the upper level teams, but you see it every year, right? Teams come from nowhere and they become not good, but okay. And they get to the postseason and get their doors blown off because they're actually really not that good. So could the Giants be one of those teams? Maybe. Probably not, because as you detailed 2 weeks ago, the schedule is not favorable.
Oh, my God.
For the New York Giants.
The schedule's brutal.
Can they become a better team over the offseason? Sure, absolutely. A lot of it's going to depend on, though, who is playing quarterback.
They can be a better team, no doubt. I don't know if they can make that kind of jump. And the schedule's a big part of it. Yeah. I mean, their schedule is absolutely brutal next year. And I know it's the schedule. You never know. Right. Season starts. Things change. Like, who knew the Vikings would be this good? I totally get that.
Somebody gets hurt.
Of course. Another team. And you got to take that into account. Absolutely. But on paper, again, if you're not aware of this, here's the Giants' home schedule next year. Cowboys, Eagles, Commanders, okay, in the division. Mm-hmm. Chiefs, playoff team. Chargers, playoff team. Packers, playoff team. Vikings, playoff team. Who knows, maybe they flip backwards. And the only non-playoff team they face is the San Francisco 49ers, who I think we assume will be better.
Right.
And maybe be a playoff team. So that's their home schedule.
So none of their home games, are you saying that's a W?
They will be underdogs in every one of those games. Yeah. Now, again, things can change. I totally get that. But right now, as we sit here, middle of January, they will be underdogs in every game they play at MetLife Stadium next year. Buy your season tickets now. How come the Giants don't promote season tickets? The Jets do. They have commercials like every 30 seconds. Are the Giants doing well with tickets where they don't even need to?
Don't know, but I'm just going to go simple math.
That's the problem.
They have more fans than Jet fans.
How many season ticket holders do they have?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
But I'm just saying, you know, in general, there's more people.
I mean, I just know anecdotally they've probably given back some over the years.
Yeah.
So many people just don't, they can't afford it either.
And even off a year like this, it's not a good one.
Right. But it's really just the cost. It's just expensive.
I would love for these teams to release those numbers. Nobody does that in this area. Like, how many season ticket holders does each of the franchises have? I'd be fascinated by that.
I'm sure there's some way you could find that, like, extrapolated off of something. I don't know how, but there has to be.
But you know what? My brain evidence tells me the Giants are doing well. And you know why I know that? Because they're not running commercials every 30 seconds. They're not sending me emails every five minutes.
They're not reminding you to go buy season tickets. If you have to have some disposable income to laying around, go get season tickets.
Yeah, Jets are pushing it. Mets are pushing it, too. Mets are going heavy on it. Mets
should be pushing it.
They should. They had a bad attendance year last year. They just went out and added Juan Soto, and they're coming off a year where they went to the NLCS. Mm-hmm. This is one of those years where the Mets are basically saying, hey, you better freaking show up.
Right.
All right?
If you're a fan, get tickets.
Yeah.
Juan Soto.
That's right. You can see him every single day, or at least when he plays.
The New York Giants.
While their defensive coordinator, Shane Bowen, still has a job, they have just fired Jerome Henderson, who is their defensive backs coach, according to Mike Garofalo. So what do you think of that? Does that, like, satisfy the Giant fans who want blood?
I mean, like, if you know who he is, maybe, but...
Well, if you know who he is, then you're just a bad person.
No, that's not true.
Then I'd feel worse about it.
No, because I would actually say the hardcore Giant fan, Jerome Henderson, was, like, a guy on the staff I think a lot of Giant fans like.
Oh, really? Know?
Because he's also, in the past, when you think about years like Fabian Moreau, like, he's made, you know... scratch out of garbage at times with the D-backs.
So you're not happy about this?
I wouldn't say I'm indifferent towards it. Here's what it tells me more than anything. Shane Bowen is probably coming back.
Oh, I think so, too.
Boy, didn't they already say that he is?
Well, but the idea was maybe Vrabel hires him as the DC in New England. That's kind of like the wait and see.
Oh, I hear what you're saying.
But to me, for the news today to break that they're firing the D-back coach, remember, Bowen basically inherited everybody who was there because he was hired late in the process last year.
Right.
He's probably coming back and hiring his own staff.
Yeah. I mean, which makes sense. It's hard when you're hired as the only piece of a new system, you know what I mean? That to change everything that's already there.
But
unless you happen to be bringing your whole staff with you. So Shane Bowen was at Tennessee the year before, so two seasons ago, and I don't know where his staff went after they all got fired. I'm sure they immediately went looking for jobs, and then Shane Bowen gets hired by the Giants, and some of those guys might already have jobs. So it just becomes hard to put a staff together.
And I also think just Deontay Banks, Cordell Flott, some of these guys they invested picks in haven't developed the way they thought, and maybe that's part of it.
Is that his fault, though?
Even if it's not, he's going to be scapegoated for that.
So he's a scapegoat fire.
Is it scapegoat or scapegoat?
Scapegoat. Like a goat.
Okay.
Like a G-O-A-T. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a scapegoat fire. Giants had a terrible season. The head coach is still here. The GM is still here. The defensive coordinator is still here. So we got to fire somebody.
I forgot. I just read where that came from. Scapegoat.
The origins of it?
Yeah. And it's something along the lines of whispering your whatever sins to a goat and letting it escape.
Oh, really?
So it's escape goat.
There goes Tiki.
So we've shortened it to scapegoat.
Ah.
But it's really escape.
You know what's interesting about this rabbit hole, though?
It's a goat that you whisper stuff to.
Tiki.
I did this, and this. get away.
Yeah.
Tiki, so we're not burdened by it anymore.
That really baffles me.
I'm glad you got that in. The best part about that rabbit hole, ladies and gentlemen, is Tiki did not turn a computer on. He didn't take his phone out. Like, that's a rabbit hole he already had developed in his very own head.
Yeah, that's like when you asked me about aliens. But those are implanted by Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Right.
And others. Oh, boy.
By the way, did you hear the breaking news about Jerome Henderson, who just got fired? He's interviewing for the Jets head coaching job.
Giants also, by the way, fired safeties coach Mike Trier.
Oh, and guess what? He's interviewing right after Jerome for the Jets head coaching job. Here's what I don't understand before we get to your calls on the Gase test. Of course, the Adam Gase test is, if the Jets hire this person, I'm going to lose my mind the way I did and the way Joe did years ago when they hired Adam Gase. I don't understand. It's been 48 hours. And we'll talk to Connor Hughes a little bit later on. He'll join us at 4 o'clock if you want to set your clocks. How have they not interviewed Mike McCarthy? That doesn't make sense. And if the excuse is, well, Evan, they interviewed him in 2020, so if they've already interviewed him, they don't need to interview him again. They interviewed Arthur Smith 4 years ago, too.
Right, and they have him back.
And they had him back. So tell me why a Super Bowl winning head coach, who, by the way, even if you don't want to hire, has a lot of intel on Aaron Rodgers, why you wouldn't interview him?
Maybe the excuse is right in front of us.
What's that?
Aaron Rodgers. Maybe Aaron Rodgers has said, look, we don't know what Aaron is, where Aaron is, what he's saying to Jets ownership or what. We don't know anything. But maybe they're saying we need to figure out the Aaron Rodgers thing before we figure out the Mike McCarthy thing.
Well, no. You need to figure out the coach and the GM before you ever figure out the quarterback, because it's up to the coach and the GM.
Yeah.
And even if Aaron says to them, I don't work with Mike McCarthy again, I still interview Mike McCarthy. It doesn't mean I'm hiring him.
Or perhaps he said things like, well, this is why you shouldn't hire Mike McCarthy.
Oh, so you think they're trusting Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know.
I wouldn't do that either.
I wouldn't.
This guy may not be on the team next year.
I'm just saying.
No,
what other explanation is there? He's one of the most available, one of those qualified available head coaches right now. Why would you not interview, considering you're interviewing everybody else?
Yeah.
I mean, literally everybody
else. I'll tell you another person they should talk to. And this is going to sound crazy, but why the hell not at this point? I'd call up Deion. I'd call up Deion Sanders. And we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys reaching out to him.
Yeah,
but why not if you're the Jets?
He might not take that call.
Okay, then he doesn't take the call. That's fine. Yeah. I didn't say he's going to say yes. I didn't tell you he's actually going to be like, cool, I'm flying to New York. But if I'm the Jets and I'm going big tent, which they have in this process, and they're interviewing a guy like Michael Locksley, the head coach of Maryland, which no one can still understand why they're interviewing him, then why wouldn't you reach out to winners? Mike McCarthy is a winner. Deion Sanders, so far in college, has been a winner.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not telling you, throw out $1 billion to the guy and hire them. I didn't say that. I'm saying I talked to them. And that's the one part of this jet search that bothers me. It's not the big tent process. I like that. It's the fact that they stop short with certain guys like Mike McCarthy. It doesn't make sense. Ben Johnson. Like, why are they not interviewing him? He's the hottest young coaching candidate in the NFL, and they have not requested an interview.
Maybe
Cliff Kingsbury, why not?
Maybe they're waiting? I don't know. It's like they're interviewing the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
The easy guys that are right now available and give them the best chance to hire.
Well, that's not the way you should do the process.
Of course not.
I'll tell you, you should
do the opposite.
I give you another name who's already gotten multiple interviews. I'm curious why they haven't called this guy and said, come on in for an interview. I can't even get through this without laughing. The very hot coaching candidate, you may have heard of him, his name is Robert Saleh.
Oh, stop. I mean, the Jags are interviewing him.
And the Cowboys.
Right.
He does have a house here.
Can you imagine that swerve?
Also, Evan, to defend the Jets, Ben Johnson may have expressed, or through channels not to be the Jets, there is reports out of Vegas that momentum is building. He's going to the Raiders.
It doesn't matter. You still, if you're telling
just
me.
Just because Tom Brady wants him?
I don't know. That's what Raiders reporters
but Sean. If the story is he said no to an interview, fine. I'm not complaining about that. There has been no indication the Jets have reached out.
By the way, were Raiders reporters hearing that on social media?
Well, they're telling us on social media. I don't know where they're hearing
it. I'm asking you, where are they hearing this?
Do you have like a clue you want to drop to us or something?
No, I'm just saying a lot of stuff is said on social media that has zero basis in fact, and it gets presented as fact.
Yeah, you're right. Did you see what Sean did on social media?
No.
Tweeted out a picture of his ass 5 minutes ago. I couldn't believe he did that.
That was actually his face. They look alike. Tap and load, or tap and hold to load in 4K.
I know, and I clicked on it, and it was your tuchus.
Was it, though?
I mean, I don't know. Can I show it to Tiki, and then Tiki will tell us?
Yeah, sure. Tell me. Let me see.
right.
Unfortunately, I've already seen this because he sent it to our group chat like we wanted to see it.
Right. So what's your point?
That I've already seen his supposed ass.
I wasn't showing it to you. I was showing it to Tiki.
Yes, because I have not seen this.
What do you think that is?
His arm.
Oh, you think it's his arm?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, it's very hairy. I've never seen a tuchus that would be that hairy.
What if I told you you may be both wrong?
Okay, so what is it?
I shame on people for assuming that somebody's ass, first of all. That's disgusting.
Shame on me. I mean, I looked at it, that's what
it
looked like.
Do you think I would post my butt on Twitter?
I don't know.
Shame on you,
I think,
Evan.
You're very desperate for attention. You see the attention Tommy's getting, yeah. And you're first like, you know all, how I can respond? My butt.
He's Those bored. Are two separate things. That is my knee. The underneath of my knee when I sit with shorts. And shame on people for looking at somebody's knee and assuming it's a butt. And I feel
fat. Kind of looks like a butt,
we can still
it?
Tap and hold.
Okay,
the logo.
Why did you post your knee?
Why? Because everybody online is posting the tap and hold things in 4K. I wanted people to see my knee in 4K.
What does that even mean? Do we know what that means?
I don't know.
Tap
I wanted
and hold
to be a part
in 4K?
Of it.
You can tap and hold something and... What?
It's,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You've been
about.
Gone from Twitter too long. This is the big craze the last few
Yeah,
days.
So there's this trend. Like the Jets even did it with Aaron Rodgers. The Mets have done it where they say tap and hold in 4K.
You know what you guys are? You guys are lemmings following Elon Musk.
Correct.
Yes.
Lemming.
Yeah,
right off a cliff.
Yes. Oh, we're complete lemmings. I have no idea what it is. I just assumed when I saw it, it's a joke I don't understand, and I've accepted it. Like, I'm in my 40s. It's well over my head. All I could care about was, can you show me Mike McCarthy in 4K and why the Jets haven't interviewed him? Because I can't figure it out. We'll get to Pete Alonso and the Mets coming up at exactly 3:25, including Tiki try to explain to us what the Mets are doing here around Pete. Is it simply they don't want him back? Is there a line in the sand financially? He will try to explain it to all of us coming up in a little bit less than a half hour. But I got to commend a man who has received a lot of criticism on this radio station. I've got to commend a beacon of hope. And that man, of course, is John Mara. Because John Mara heard my threats. He knew that I was being all serious business back in November when I looked into the camera on SNY and I said, Mr. Mara, I'm going to tell you something. And you want to call it a threat? That's fine. But you better listen to me. And do you remember what that was? What I threatened Mr. Mara with?
Yes.
What did I say?
Do not raise season ticket prices.
That's right.
And
I said,
parking.
Mr. Mara. Do not raise season ticket prices. What he did...
After a bad season.
After a horrific season. And I have said many times on this radio station, I would pass a constitutional amendment that bans franchises from raising season ticket prices off of years in which they don't make the postseason. The New York Knicks and the New York Rangers have an edict where they will never raise ticket prices when they miss the postseason. That's the Rangers, and that's the Knicks. And I commend James Dolan for that. But I believe every team should follow suit. Now, no one has, because the Jets raised ticket prices. 2 years ago, the Mets raised ticket prices. Like, it's a common thing. But John Mara, I commend you, because you listened to me. Ladies and gentlemen, the New York Giants have not raised ticket prices on their customers. Good work.
Well all right, done, John. All right.
And by the way, for you guys out there, you're welcome, because I think my threat had a lot to do with it.
Now, Evan, you need to follow suit. You asked Mr. Mara for something special, and I've been informed he's asking you for something special.
John Mara's asking me for something?
Yes, he
There's
is.
There's a very good chance I'm not going to give it to him, but go ahead.
John Mara would like you to purchase season tickets.
Oh, we can't do this now.
Since you are already a Knicks season ticket holder, he said, I didn't raise them.
You could sell them.
You could sell them.
Have you seen the Giants the last few years? I ain't selling anything.
They do play the Cowboys twice.
They got the Chiefs coming in next year. Good profit,
actually, it's probably a good season to have Giants season tickets if you don't want to go.
Oh, just to sell them?
Yeah.
Because of the teams. You're right. The Niners are coming in. The Chiefs are coming in.
Cowboys, obviously. The Eagles are right down the road.
John Mara.
I mean, that's half of them.
You're right.
You're selling half of them right there from jump.
You are right about that. But I would tell you this about John Mara.
Detroit, too?
The Chargers, too. I don't think Detroit.
Oh, not Detroit.
No, Detroit? All right. Here's why
Chargers aren't going to sell.
John Mara actually disagrees with you. Because while I think he'd like to make money off of me, like every other sports team in this town, one thing that bothers Mara more than it bothers Joe Tsai and more than it bothers Steve Cohen or anyone else
is when people go into their building rooting for the other team. Mm. And if I'm a season ticket holder and I'm simply selling the tickets, the odds are very high I'm contributing to Niner fans taking over your building.
No wonder. No wonder James Dolan doesn't like us.
Now,
it's your fault, Evan.
I do go to Knick games every once in a while, and a part of that is the Guardians.
Rooting for the other team.
Yeah, rooting for the other team, of course. I told him that when he was in here. I said, I'm a season ticket holder, and I go there, and I love basketball, and I root against you. There's nothing wrong with that. Listen, green is green, Teak.
Did he appreciate that, or was he kind of like...
Wasn't he confused by me? I thought that's what it was. Like, okay.
We all are. Or did he say, wait till I get facial recognition technology? You will be ejected.
No. He hasn't done that yet. I've been a season ticket holder for 4 years. In fact, where is it? Oh, yeah. Right over here, I have a gold, or silver, actually, a silver ticket. Imprinted New York Knicks, Evan Roberts, section 313.
I've got a golden ticket.
Member since 2022. So I've got this special gold ticket from Mr. Dolan. He appreciates me, Tiki.
Right. It's probably plated.
You think so? And I appreciate sports franchises that don't raise season ticket prices off of bad years. Now, I would argue that maybe the Giants should have lowered ticket prices, and you could certainly make that argument.
That will never happen in any sport ever.
You know who did it? The Nets did it.
They lowered ticket prices?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Across the board?
After Durant and Kyrie were gone?
Oh, how much did they raise them when Durant and Kyrie came?
Oh, so now we've got to go back to the pre-Durant number to see?
Yeah.
I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
I bet it was unfairly.
Yeah, probably.
Like high.
Yeah, probably. But nevertheless, they lowered them.
The Nets still in the league.
But I do give the Giants a lot of credit because I think it takes a lot of stones off of a bad year and bad years in the case of the Giants to raise ticket prices. Now, I think there are still customers who said, I'm done. Because even if the prices are staying the same, they may not have faith in the organization. Mm-hmm. They may not have faith in Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, and that is up to the individual to make that decision. But I do commend bad teams or teams coming off of bad years for keeping their prices the same. And I do want to at least, if I'm going to rip teams to do it, I do want to be fair and say good job by the Giants.
You can do it when you're in the NFL because it's 15 to 17%. That's it.
Yeah. That's the revenue they bring in from ticket sales. It's very, very low.
Percentage of total revenue is small. For baseball, it's huge.
Yep.
Basketball, did we look at basketball? I don't remember.
I think basketball, I had the figures. I think basketball was actually pretty high, too. I think football is the one sport where they want you to come to the building. Don't get me wrong. But they don't rely on it the way the other sports do.
They have a $100 billion TV deal.
Right.
So most of the revenue comes from TV, jersey sales, and everything else.
You're absolutely right.